Well, God bless you all in the wonderful name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to thank the Faithful in Christ Ministries Board and thank you for the privilege of teaching and speaking God's Word, because it's a tremendous privilege to be able to do that. And with our topic this week, and I came up with a teaching that I'm calling Much More Than Just Invited. Now, we know that we've been invited to eternal life. As a matter of fact, we can invite anyone else to come with us that wants to. We can, you know, this is beautiful trip, vacation, that we can invite others to join. And not just one or two, but as many as we want to bring with us. We can bring them all on this wonderful adventure that we've been invited to. But to get into the greatness of God's Word, I see that it's much more than just being invited. So let's look at this, and let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and in verse 1 is where I'd like to start. And it says, and you hath he quickened. These words, hath he quickened, are in italicized, and that tells us it's been added by the translators. It sort of fits, though, if you read the context, but we can just read it just like it is. And you who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, what a greeting to get, huh? You guys were, good to see you guys, but you were all dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Wow. What a greeting. What a way to start. And you know who this is written to? This is written to the faithful in Christ. It's written to the faithful in Christ so that we would remember where we came from. And that way, when we see others in the world who are in this situation, we can go, aha, I was there too. I was just like them. Children of disobedience, verse 3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. There's where we were. Pretty wild. But you know what? It's good for us to remember where we came from. It's good for us not to get haughty or proud or arrogant in this, because we've been invited and we've already got our tickets, right? We know that we're going. But we can reach out to others who are in this condition and really help them get invited to be a part of the show. And I like verse 4 a lot, where it says, but God. And that's what happened to all of us. We were dead in trespasses and sins, not that great. But God, who is rich in mercy. Mercy, man, we needed mercy bad. But God was rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins or to sin. Sin was our life. It was not part of our life. It was our life. Hath quickened us together with Christ. He quickened us, made us alive, energized us. Gave us a purpose and a reason to be alive. By grace ye are saved. By grace we were saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. We're seated in the heavenlies. We used to be dead in trespasses and sins. And now we're seated in the heavenlies. We're not just invited to sit in the heavenlies. We are seated in the heavenlies. We're not people that are looking up to God. We are people who are seated in the heavenlies looking down. That's what we have. And I want to look at this in a little bit more detail of who we were and what God did for us. So I'd like to go to Romans chapter 3. And roam over to Romans. I would never say nothing like that, because that's just not good. So, and we're going to start in Romans chapter 3 and in verse 19. It says, now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. See, we were dead in trespasses and sins. If you read the beginning of Romans, you'll see that no man has gotten anywhere. We all are short of the glory of God. And this is pointing that out to us again. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law was the knowledge of sin. The Old Testament law told us about sin. As a matter of fact, it was like a beacon. It was going, that's sin. We have, I mean, everyone almost knows, almost all of us know that probably killing someone, sin. Sin. We know that now, right? Because of the law, right? Stealing, that's all right. No, no, we know that's not, no. And that's what the law did. It pointed out. It said, nope, that's not good. That's not good. And that's what the law did. It was by the law we had the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. See, the righteousness of God without the law is being manifested to us. And it's being witnessed by the law and the prophets as they speak God's word. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith or believing of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that do one thing. Believe. Believe. For there is no difference. This word righteousness is a great word. It was first coined by William Tyndale in his translation of the Greek into the New Testament that he did. Righteousness. So much of language, especially English language, was first understood by the men who translated into the Greek into English. First coined by William Tyndale, and it simply meant right with God. Right with God. Today we use terms like without any sense of sin, guilt, shortcomings of any kind. To stand in the very presence of God. With a feeling of holiness that we are right with God. Righteousness. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace. By His grace. I'd like to talk a little bit about that word grace. In my research, I have found that the word grace is also translated in the King James many times as favor. Favor. And favor was a word that was easier for me to understand because we all know what it is to be favored. We all know about the teacher's pet, you know, is favored, you know. Some of us might have been the teacher's pet. And we're favored, right? So we know what that means. We know what it is in an office situation where they're the boss's favorite. You know, so to me, favored, I understand what that word means. And we are favored by God. Favored. That is, to me, speaks clearly, and it's easier for me to understand than grace, because grace has a mystical churchy thing, you know. You got to get grace, you know, but I know what it is to be favored. You know, in my life, I have seen other people be favored, and I've been favored. and I like being favored better. Amen. You know, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace or favor through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation or a payment in full through faith or believing in his blood. And the way this word blood is used is a figure of speech, a part for the whole. The whole being everything that happened to Jesus Christ from the Last Supper through his burial. The beatings, the spear, the pounding of the thorns upon his head. Everything that was done to Jesus Christ. But here it's just using a part for the whole blood. And it wasn't that Jesus had his finger pricked. Shed blood. I got to shed a little blood? No problem. That wasn't it. It was everything that he had to go through. And we as Bible students, when we see that word blood, we know as much as we've learned about what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. I believe that God here has given us a less violent way to see that. But those of us who have know God's word can go, oh yeah, I know what that means. To declare his righteousness for the remission or the forgiveness of sins that have passed through the forbearance of God. See, now we're learning what God did for us. He did it through his son, Jesus Christ. We have remission of sins. Our sins are forgiven. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in who? Jesus. What we are called to do today is simply believe that Jesus Christ did the work. We don't have to be good enough. We couldn't do it if we wanted to. We couldn't send a group of us that are so good that would be good enough. So it's just like we can't do it except believing that Jesus Christ did it for us. And that's all we're really asked to do is believe that Jesus did it. Verse 27, where is boasting then? No boasting, it's excluded. By what law? Of works? Did we work so hard? You know something, when I was, before I got in the Word, I was such a sinner, and I worked so hard to become righteous. We can't say nothing like that. Nothing like that. Not by works, nay, by the law of believing. Believing that Jesus Christ did the work. He accomplished it for us. Yeah. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by believing without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by believing, or the uncircumcision and the uncircumcision by believing. Do we then make void the law through believing? God forbid. When you see that God forbid, you should put in your mind, don't even let that pass your mind. Don't let that thought even, don't even entertain that thought. It's, you know, God forbid, yea, we establish the law. The law, with the knowledge of the law, we know what sin was. But now we go further and beyond that. The sin problem has been taken care of by Jesus Christ. When we believe that what Jesus Christ accomplished for us, then we no longer have a sin problem. It's that simple. It has been done. We don't have to worry about it. We know that we're not perfect. We're not trying for perfectness. We're trying for, we know that the sin problem has been taken care of. So we don't have any condemnation. We just get up and keep moving whenever we make a mistake. And you know what we are? I don't know if you guys realize this, but we're human. And we make mistakes. We do. If you're looking for, like me, never to make a mistake, oh, that's terrible. You know? You know, we make mistakes, but we do one thing. We love God and we love His Word and we want people to know about it. And that what makes us great. Is when we fall and we do make mistakes, we don't go around and go, whose fault was that? Well, most of the time it was mine, but, you know, we just get up and keep moving. That's the way we live. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 6. And I just want to give you a little picture about where we were and what God did for us. In chapter 5, verse 6, it says, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. See, that's, you know, dead in trespasses and sins. That's where we were. But Christ died for the ungodly. We didn't have to become good enough for God to send His Son. As a matter of fact, as we keep reading, we'll see some interesting things. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet for an adventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. I guess there are people that would take the bullet for the president. That's their job. You know, so they think he's a good enough man that it would take the bullet for him. People in wartime have dove on grenades to save their comrades, their brothers in arms, because they thought it was worth doing. You know, because they're good men. They were brothers in arms. You know, verse 7 says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love towards us, and that while we were yet stinkers, or sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. Much more. Every time there's a much more in my Bible, I underline it to just cause my mind to slow down and think about that. Much more than. Verse 10 says, for if when we were enemies, wow, enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So you know what? Now we are sons of God. When we were enemies of God, God sent His Son to help us. Now that we're sons of God, do you think we could get a prayer answered? I mean, see the contrast there? God so loved us when we were sinners and stinkers. But right now, if you're a son of God with Christ within you and you made a mistake, you better feel sorry. No. You know, we just keep moving. We just pick ourselves up and keep moving with God. We are not called to feel sorry or to feel bad about our lives. Or feel bad about our mistakes. We're not called to do that. We are called just to get up and to keep moving for God. Verse 11 says, not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received an atonement. When I first got into the Word, one of the first teachers I had said, just take that word and divide it up at 1 minute. At one with God. Well, I like that definition. We are at one with God. Therefore, as by one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. How many sinned? All. Because of whose fault? Who started that? A guy named Adam. That's right. For until the law... until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude or the manner in which Adam transgressed, who is the figure of him that was to come. Not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, That's Adam's. Adam's transgression, many be dead. Much more, that's where I underline that, the grace of God, the favor of God, and the gift by grace. This is grace upon grace, favor upon favor. Would anyone here like a favor? Well, how about a favor and then another favor? Much more. Much more. Grace upon grace, which by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. As many as want to believe that Jesus Christ did the work. That's how many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. And condemnation, by the way, is the opposite of righteousness. Is the opposite of it. So if you feel condemnation, that's the opposite of righteousness. We have been called to righteousness. So any time that you are tempted to be condemned or to feel bad or to feel sorry, change your mind and feel righteous. Walk as though you've never sinned. People will see that righteous walk and they'll want that too. Okay. Verse 17, did I read that? It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, right with God, shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, all men could feel sorry if they wanted to, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life, just as though ye have never sinned. The sin problem has been handled. We do not need to study, work on the definitions and all the different manners of sin there is. It's been handled. It's been handled in Jesus Christ. We now work on righteousness. We work on standing before God without any sense of guilt, shortcomings, or fallings of any kind. We have been made righteous. Verse 19 says, for as by the one man's disobedience many were made sinners, oh, that's terrible, so by the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, shall many be made what? Righteous. That's pretty cool. Moreover, the law entered that the offense may abound. When the law told, it was the beacon, you know, it's pointed out sin, so it abounded. Everyone knew about sin. Matter of fact, you can probably go to a few churches that will tell you about sin. You know? But I don't really care about sin. The problem has been handled. It's over. You know? I don't want to sing, oh Lord, I'm a sinner. Don't like that song. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Pretty cool. Grace did much more abound. Picture a river. We got a river out here. Picture it at flood stage. The water is overdoing the banks. It's flowing into the fields and into the woods. It's abounding. That's how sin was. But grace did much more abound. It's like it abounded so much you can't even tell where the river was. It looks more like you don't know where the river was. All you see is a lake. You know? It covered even that. So sin is just plain wiped out. It's gone. Verse 21, that as sin hath reigned into death, even so my grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. And the text is really Christ Jesus our Lord. Pretty cool. That's what I think. Pretty cool. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians. I was told one time that the Ephesians is the breakfast of champions. You've heard that? Yeah. There was a period of time in my life where I read Ephesians every morning, like 6 weeks in a row. Every morning I read Ephesians. It was a good 6 weeks. I'd like to go to verse 4. Chapter 2. We read some of this before, but I really want to hit this more than, much more than. I got to put that word in there. Much more than, right? But God, who is, you know, got some mercy, no, rich, lots of it, lots of mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were enemies, even when we were dead to sins, hath quickened us, made us alive together with Christ by grace, favor, favor upon favor, ye are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. We're able to sit in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. And this verse 7 blows my mind. It says that in the ages to come, he may show the exceeding riches of his grace or his favor in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. In the ages to come, throughout all eternity, more favor. You know what? Not when we just get there. When we get there at the Bema, we get all the rewards. We're kind of happy, you know. You know, it's a good time. But, you know, God's not done. Throughout all eternity, it says here that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Much more. Much more. It's like, hey, you guys, you are all invited to this banquet. And come on in. You all come in and the host goes, well, here, right there's the banquet and there's all the food you want. Over there's a bar. It's not a cash bar. It's just a bar, you know. And we've got music here, the best musicians you've ever seen here. And all the other people are the best people in the world, the people you want to hang out with. And you go, great. And then next moment he says, no, sit down. We'll bring it to you. Because it just keeps getting more and more. Let's read that again. That in the ages to come, throughout all eternity, right? He may show the exceeding riches of his grace, his favor. It's going to be poured out for all eternity. Isn't that neat? In his kindness, God, here it's telling us that he's kind. His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. When we're seated in the heavenlies, that is going to be a great day. And we're going to be able to tap into the exceeding riches of his grace throughout all eternity. Michael Tracy last night shared that verse, you know, this present suffering, it's a Romans 8:17, where it says this, you know, this moment of trouble that's going on is nothing compared to what we're going to have after we're seated. That is the truth of God's word, because throughout all eternity, God's going to continue to show his grace, his favor upon us. Pretty neat. Well, thank you for listening.